Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Yeah, as we consider ending up and wrapping up the book of Ecclesiastes and just the fun that we've had in going through this great book and the wonder of it and the joy of it, it is one of those things that we see that it really looks at a fallen world and it looks at it hard. And yet... You know, the fact is, you know, we are here today and we are in Christ and things have radically changed in your life if you are in Christ. And so how we respond to life in a broken world is so important. Now, our second song had that phrase in there about being a generation that worships God, being generational in our thinking and wanting each generation to have a kingdom mindset to where each generation truly, passionately pursues God. You know, I've heard a lot of negative things about, I guess, the generation coming along are millennials, and I've heard a lot of negative things. Well, I'm just old enough that I heard a lot of negative things about hippies. I heard a lot of negative things about yuppies. I heard a lot of negative things about yuppie puppies. I've heard a lot of negative things about Gen X. There are multiple generations, and yet the reality is in the church, in the body of Christ, in the family of God, we represent generations and encouraging generational worship, praise, service, love for God is what God has called us to. Now, this last chapter, he kind of paints a picture about growing old. And, you know, sometimes growing old just isn't pretty. And now that I'm growing a little older, I'm living the reality of that in certain ways, certain times in my life, and I understand that. You know, it isn't at some days. It is life, though. You know, and he goes through the whole gambit in this particular chapter before he hits the exclamation point, the great crescendo, if you would, of what life is meant to be for all of us. Now, I remember reading a little story of a gentleman and a gal who both lost their spouses, and now he is in his 90s and she is in her 80s, and they are serious about getting married. And they went for daily walks, and they decided and they set a date to be able to get married. And and as they were walking down through, holding hands and just talking about the future, they came across this place called a pharmacy. And so the gentleman walked in. He said, I'm going to go on inside. And she said, okay. And so he goes, do you have heart medication here? And the pharmacist goes, why, certainly. How about medication for circulation? Oh, all kinds. How about medicine for rheumatism and scoliosis and things like that? Oh, definitely. How about medicine for memory problems, arthritis, jaundice? Yes, we have a large variety. Whatever the doctor orders, we have here. How about vitamins and sleeping pills? Maybe some Geritol? Absolutely. We have it. Okay. Wheelchairs, walkers. Yes. All different kinds of speeds, sizes, different makeups. Yeah, we have them. Great. We'd like to use your store as a bridal registry. growing older. You know, it is a reality. But the question is what are we doing with the generations that follow? How are we encouraging them to do the exclamation point? You know, this year, I have made the 50% point in my life. 50% of my life I have now served God. That percentage is really low. You know, for somebody my age. And yet I'm thankful for that 50%. I'm thankful that God wonderfully just began tugging on my heart to save my wretched soul, to where I trusted him as my Savior. I'm so glad that even in the floundering of life after being saved, because I had so many idols back there in the world that we've kind of highlighted many of them, you know, that he wondrously and graciously called me to himself in a wonderful way, and so that I could see that they were idols and that I needed to worship him and him alone in my life. The reality of having children and wanting to raise children within time, you know, to be able to encourage them to want to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and realizing the only way they're going to do that is to have a mom and dad that love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. To where, if we're going to have generational living, is to see that this generation has their needs met rather than pick on or discourage them, but encourage them along life's path, realizing the temptations are real out there in the world. It's a fallen world, and sometimes it's a discouraging world, but yet being with them and letting them know God has a great, great plan that he is bringing to pass, and he yearns for them to be a part of all of it, because it's all about eternity. When you and I start thinking generational, we start thinking about having that 10-year-old realize that they not only needed a Savior, but they need to walk with God daily, and encouraging what that would look like at their age. And then when they turn 20 and life is getting crazy and they're thinking about marriage or already married, you know, that guess what? God is all important and wants them to follow him. Solomon, as he ends this, he is ending this with this great exclamation point saying, guess what? I want all of you all the time for my glory and my glory alone. And there is one way that finishes the matter so that you and I together can do that in this broken, fallen world. What it means to live life for God's wonderful and to please him in a meaningless world is exactly what Ecclesiastes 12 is. Living life to please God now, all generations together in harmony. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we look into your word this morning, we ask that you would just encourage us. Father, our hearts are laid bare before you, and no matter what we try to hide, you know it all. And Father, I pray that as we lay our hearts before you, that we would be humbled and just yearn for your Spirit and your word to refresh us, encourage us, to change us. Father, to grow us in your grace, passionately pursuing that thought of Christ's likeness in our lives and realizing it starts from knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and walking in that truth and growing in that truth and allowing you to radically transform our lives, not being conformed to this world. Oh, Father, work in our midst in a profound way this day, please. Might each one of us say, it's been great to be in the house of the Lord. It's been great to be with other believers. It's been great to be under your word. It's been great to sing praise and worship to your holy name. But it's been great to be ministered to by you. Father, work, please. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Just so you know, today is actually our first anniversary here in Ellicott. I think that's so cool. Yeah. Let's look at living to please God. You know, Solomon tried everything. He looked at a broken world and he tried to dive into everything. He tried to gain money. He tried to gain materialism, this, that, and everything else. He tried all sorts of debauchery, you know, drunkenness, foolishness, jesting, intimacy, all that stuff. He tried to be dominating and be a domineering person. You know, he tried to be one of the crowd. He tried arrogance. He went on and on and on. He tried everything. And he says it's all meaningless. It's vanity. So when we start thinking about living to please God, may I say first and foremost, for those who can, start young. Start young. You know, and for those of us who are older, encourage those who are young. You know, downstairs, they're going over the same passage today. You know, and that's a unique thing about Calvary, RMC, Rocky Mountain. You know, we try to balance it out so that if you have children downstairs, they're going to hear some thoughts geared just for them within the passage. And so you'll have a great opportunity to talk to them about Ecclesiastes 12 after today. I think that's wonderful, you know, and so as we consider this of starting young, he gives the idea of what it means to grow a little bit old, but he says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and he's going to kind of share with what those difficult days are going to be, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in today, because I'm really old. Now, the thought is, for the child of God, I really believe that when we get up into our 70s and 80s and 90s, and though we slow down, and though we aren't physically able to do the things that we used to love to do, I believe that God can still give us a joy-filled heart for Him and use us in many different ways for His glory. So don't think that I don't plan on serving God for a number more years, even though I'm a little bit older. And many of you do too. But yet, the reality of wanting to start and to encourage the young and encouraging our children to realize their beautiful relationship with God as they grow old. Because sometimes aging cannot be pretty. Notice verse 2, while the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened, the clouds do not return after rain. That is life, the spans of days and years, and he's talking about that things are going on. In the day when keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down and the grinder's teeth, grinders cease. That is our teeth. You know, he is talking about, he has seen, you know, the fact that, they don't work as good as they used to, and I don't have as many as I used to. In our day and age, well, we have something to usually replace them, you know, to be able to do things. And he's talking about, you know, because they are few. You know, back then they didn't have such a thing as dentures or implants, you know. We have that luxury today of doing that so that we keep our grinders a little bit longer, you know. But he's saying, you know, as far as aging, that's a part of life. That is what we go through. And he's just simply saying, you know, when you're still young, enjoy a good piece of tough steak, and being able to eat an apple without fear, you know, and to enjoy that, and enjoy life, but to make sure that it's for God's glory in the midst of it. I don't know about you, but I'm still very thankful for taste buds, and I realize that someday I might lose them. You know, whether it's through disease or something else. But right at this point, I still enjoy my taste buds. My taste buds are totally different than my family's. Yeah, but I love them, You know, I love jalapeno peppers. They hate jalapeno peppers. You know, I don't just like the spice. I like the flavor, you know, and the wonder of it, you know. I have a son that is just, son-in-law, who's just meat and potatoes. Now, that's good, but to me, it's boring. You know, I like tried different ethnic foods, and I'm glad I still can, you know, and just enjoy that. And he's saying, you know, while you're still young, you know, enjoy that, that part of life. Look at verse three, continuing on. Those who look through the windows grow dim. Ah, our eyes do grow dim. You know, the use of glasses are prominent today. Contacts are, are part of the day. You know, cataract surgeries. I don't know about you, but aren't you glad that they came up with that about 35 years ago? You know, so that people can continue. People would just lose their eyesight, you know, because they wouldn't get that cared for because of the dimming of the eyes, you know. And he's saying, well, you've got them. Behold Pike's Peak, you know. You know, yesterday as I came out, it was really cloudy and dreary and rainy here, you know, but I could look over at the whatever mountains they are below Pike's Peak. They're the sand whatever, you know, and the sun was shining on all of their snow, and it was beautiful. I just stood out here and just rejoiced and got wet, but I rejoiced to what I could still see and see the beauty of God's creation and the wonder of it. It is so magnificent. I'd love to go to California someday and see those huge trees that you can drive through. That would be fun. I've never seen anything like that. And I mean, up close and personal, I've seen pictures, but to be able to see them, you know? I have a son-in-law who lives on the East Coast, and he took us on a whale watch, and we had a great time. We saw something like 7 different varieties of whales that day. We saw dolphins. We saw a school of tuna swim by, and they were just saying, you came on the right day, you know, and we got to see all this stuff that we never got to see, and he and I went deep sea fishing, too. That was cool. That was fun, and never done anything like that. I'm glad I had an opportunity to do that. Being able to enjoy and to be able to see those things, even though the windows grow dim. And when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, you're getting a little older. That means you can't sleep. Don't know about you, but that's my life. You know, I have this biological alarm clock, and I've had it for a number of years to where around 5:30 I get up. Diane can tell you that our alarm clock doesn't go off very often. Be lucky if it's 10% of the time, because I wake up, I need to get up, and I turn my alarm off, and I leave the room. Have been doing it for years. That's just been life. But now that I'm older, it is more important that I get up early. And it's a fact of life, you know. My poor daughter, she has 3 little ones, and they're 5, 3, and about 10 months, 8 months, 9 months, something like that, you know. And they started getting up at 4:15 this morning. She loves the time change, you know. And, you know, with little kids, they get up early in the morning. But a teenager, can you get them out of bed? I don't know what it is about life that changes, but it changes. And, you know, we had children that trying to get them up to go to school in the morning was a challenge. But it was fun, you know. I was probably harsh before I was saved. And after I got saved, because Christian music became a big part of our home, and because I still had the old lifestyle stereo equipment with speakers this big and things like that, we would still turn on the Christian music and I would be listening to it softly, and then it was time for the kids to get up, and so, whoa, and the whole house would shake, but the kids knew it was time to get out of bed. I'll never forget, our oldest daughter had a little gal over to spend the night, and I guess they went to bed, and they got came down in the morning. I woke him up the usual way. And little girl came bounding down the stairs and she goes, Christina said you'd wake us up with music, and you did. Yeah, growing old. It's a reality of life. And all the daughters of music are brought low. Our hearing starts to go. They are afraid of height and terrors in the way. Our balance goes. And so being on roofs and things like that isn't as easy as it used to be. Yeah. I'm proud of myself because we always have these pastor challenges when we go out on our pastor's thing. And the camp we were at this time, they had a high ropes course. They had a low ropes course, you know. And Billy and Jay, no, not Billy, but Jay and Dan Champion from our media team at RMC, they did the low ropes course. And so I'm looking at them, I go, what? So I did the high one. And I made it. I was happy, you know. You know, so, but, you know, the fact is, though back in the day, that height wouldn't have looked anything to me. Walking on a rope, that height looked like something to me this time that I wasn't really comfortable with, and I was glad I had a safety hick, you know, and to be able to do it. But, you know, we lose it. You know, we can't do it. I never had a problem doing the splash guards on the side of drip edges on roofs and things like that. And so anybody who was doing roof, call Rich, he'll do it. Yep, I'll do it. And it was no big deal. Today, I probably could do it, but I wouldn't be as comfortable doing it. Growing older. The almond tree blossoms, and if you don't know what an almond tree looks like when it blossoms, they have pure, pure white blossoms. He's talking about getting that little bit of gray, you know, and that how you grow a little bit older in the reality of it. I'll leave the next, the grasshopper is a burden. Legs kind of give out, limps a little bit. I'll leave the next phrase for y'all. You know what it is. A man goes to his eternal home ultimately, and death comes, and the mourners go about the streets. That's not a pretty picture, you know? But what do we do? Starting young, you know? I know in my 20s, if I was saved during my 20s, I would have said, I'm too busy. I'm working too many jobs. I have too much going on. I don't even have time to walk with God consistently in a day. I know me, and I know what my rationale would have been. The thing is, encouraging within that we have a daily walk with God. Why? Because it's needed, because we walk in a broken world. Whether it's our kids in a school, they walk in a broken world. And to be able to encourage them to start a day off with a walk with God and to understand what that looks like, to teach them is important. To be able to encourage them to actually do some things within the church, to be able to serve a little bit. Or some place within the realm of Christianity. All four of our kids ended up being camp counselors during the summer at Christian camp. And I'm so thankful for that. So thankful for that. One of our daughters really, really had a strong heart and things like that. And do you know what they did with her? Every single child that was in her cabin came from a broken home where at least half of them had a parent or both parents in jail to try to minister. You talk about a high calling. You know, and part of me as a dad saying, oh, don't do that to my daughter. And it was so life radically changing and growing for her to be able to strive to be used of God as a young lady to encourage a walk with God in the midst of the brokenness that they're walking through. Part of it was that she knew she had a dad that walked through similar stuff. And so she could remember and see the transition that's going through her dad and the transformation, and realizing that God does do great things in hearts that are committed to him and uses them. Living life. Yeah, I'd love to see young guitarists up here. Young drummers up here. No offense, Scott. I'm not saying you're old. You know, but, you know, to have them up there just worshiping God, celebrating who he is, back in the media area, helping out with the children every now and then. You know, that's what life is about, and being a part of a family and encouraging, starting young. Learning how this book works and utilizing it. Learning what it means to esteem God, please God, doing what is acceptable, not only to live life. I mean, my children were just like most children. You know, if I asked them to do something, I could get them to conform. Pick up your room. Oh, yeah. You know, that's a reality of life. But now, trying to convince them that picking up a room brings glory to God, not just because you obeyed mom or dad, but because God is a God of order, and he loves that. And he enjoys that. And you worship him in doing such. You know, I've always picked on my kids and said, we've had a dishwasher for a long, long time. We actually had to purchase one after the kids all left the house, but we had a dishwasher along the line. It was always one of the kids. Now they could do it, you know, and they did sometimes, but trying to encourage them, now guess what? You say you know Christ as Savior, you can do this for his glory. What? This is just life. No. You are choosing at this very point in life whether or not your life is going to glorify God or not. Our attitude is real. And how we approach things. Do you think our kids and the next generation see how we approach things as adults? What do you think? Do you think our attitude ever comes out in kind of negative sometimes? Yeah. I was honest with our self-confrontation team. You know, when I got to RMC and we came to this thing of the harvest gathering, I want you to know I chafed. Man, it's a long day. You know, this year we had lots of helpers. I mean, both ends of the day, and it was so wonderful. But up to that point, it was basically up to the pastors to do, you know, and that's wonderfully changed and been nurtured and things like that. But I want you to know I chafed. I go, what's the value of this? You know, stuffing candy in all these kids' baskets and everything in the bags and everything. I want you to know I chafed. I had a rotten attitude the first year, and Robert probably saw it. I'm quite sure he saw it. And so the next year, here, Rich, you've got oversight of this whole part. You got to set it up. And he, what? And I go to leave his office, and he goes these words. Hey, Rich, have fun because of God today. Conviction. Repentance. I can do this with a smile on my face and a smile on my heart and enjoy these families as they come through. And now I look forward to it. Is it still a long day? Sure. But it's a lot more enjoyable. And I saw a number of you bringing your children through and things like that. It was fun, you know, to be able to do that. Some of you showed up to help set up. Some of you showed up to help tear down. What a blessing. What a blessing. And I got to meet new families, encourage them. Our attitude is a big thing. Our children see it. The next generation sees it. How do we grow older? Start young. Start enjoying life because God created it. Start enjoying it. Young age. It is a wonderful adventure. And when you're in Christ, it ought to be even a bigger, joyous adventure, even in the midst of a fallen world and all the difficulties that are going on there. Enjoy life. Enjoy life in a profound way. Verse 6 says, remember your creator before the silver cord is loosed and the golden bowl is broken and the pitcher shattered at the fountain. Literally, before everything starts falling apart and the wheel is broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it is, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So before death, you know, not only start young because aging isn't pretty, but because God wants us to live in remembrance of the fact that he is the creator of everything, and he has created us, and we have a life of value that he yearns to magnify himself through, wanting us to breathe that which truly glorifies him. Well, how do we do that? Well, part of it is to savor the truth. Notice what verses 9, 10, and following declares. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, and he's talking about himself, and he has written scriptures, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. He wrote the book of Proverbs, and it is just a wealth of how to live life in a broken world. And the warnings that are there. The preacher sought to find acceptable words or pleasing words that was written. What was written was upright. Words of truth. Savoring the truth. You and I need to develop lives to where we bond to the Word of God. This Word is true and everything that's in it, and really adhere to it. In other words, wanting our lives to magnify that which we find here as His Spirit and the power of His living Word really takes root in our lives to where God sees you and I as somebody who passionately delights in his word and rejoices in his goodness, savoring the truth in life and wanting generational aspects of that to become true, to where they enjoy diving into God's word. They enjoy looking at things the way God looks at things, looking with a kingdom mindset versus the worldly mindset. Verse 11 says, the words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. I want you to ponder that for a moment. Next week, we're going to jump into the book of John, and there it says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, the shepherd. And we're going to start looking at, we'll get to John chapter 10 eventually, where it declares that he is the good shepherd. And he is talking about the fact of that fact that Christ is the word, and we have the word now in written form, for you and I to be able to live rightly, savoring that truth of God, bonding to it, adhering to it, letting the word prod us as a goad, wanting us to walk with him. Now, sometimes that's challenging. Sometimes, man, that means life's got to really radically change. Yep, life's got to change, but God in his wonderful power and might, he can, and he yearns to, desires to, and will change every single one of us. For his glory alone. That's why I'm convinced of this. Nobody's beyond saving. And nobody's beyond walking with God in truth. Nobody. Absolutely, positively nobody. No matter how defiled they might be in our thinking or according to God's word, God can and yearns to do something magnificent in bringing them about to be that new creation in Christ so that it's real and it's evident to everybody around. I think back, you know, I was pretty wretched when I was in the service. Blech, you know, live life horribly. You know, and just the way things worked out, I never worked in my MOS. That's just one of those things. I went to school because I could sign a contract to get an MOS, but right after I finished that school, they said, well, guess what? We don't care what we taught you in. You're going to go do what we want you to do. And that was their mentality. All right, you know, I'm in the Army now. You know, and that's what we did. And so I never worked in my MOS. And when I ended up getting diverted from Vietnam and I ended up in Okinawa, I find myself working in this joint liaison with all these bigwigs. With Marines, yay, Marines, Semper Fi, yeah, Thor, you know, Air Force, you know, and Air Force and Navy and Coast Guard. And I'm working with all of these guys, and I'm just a little peon, Army guy, you know, and guess what? They all relied on me because of what I did. I thought that was so cool. But I also know I was wretched, vile mouth, horrible, arrogant. And what I give to be able to go back and find every single one of them and apologize. I was part of a meaningless world. One of my secretaries was a godly woman. I still didn't care what came out of my mouth or the attitude that I had. She literally prayed for Israel in front of me, and I got indignant. I said, Israel's going to be the death of us all. Kind of pompous, stupid, foolish. What I give to see her today. And apologize and plead for forgiveness because I made her Christian walk really hard. But I remember, so God used her to sow some seed in this wretched man. Growing old isn't pleasurable sometimes. But nurturing others to passionately pursue, and I know nobody's beyond hope or help, living the way God wants us to. Notice how the scripture continues on, verse 12. And further, my son, be admonished by these, of making many books there is no end, and much study can be wearisome to the flesh. Yeah, that's true. What he's saying is, don't just become a bookaholic. Don't become a Bibleaholic. Don't become so theocratic that you are no earthly good, bottom line. Live it. He has called you and I to live it. In a way that it is so evident. And so the way we savor God's truth is revealing all that he is in our lives and allowing his light, love, his compassion, his wonder of all that he is to really radiate through our lives. That's how we savor his truth. Oh, do we have to do the book learning? Sure, this one. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's how we grow. Being able to memorize a verse of scripture is a good thing. Being able to share that is a good thing. A little bit older, a little bit harder. Yeah, that's okay. My dad sitting at my kitchen table, he didn't get saved until he was 68. He's now 73, 74. And his task, now that he's saved, was to memorize John 3:16. And I could have sat there and yawned. You know, and as dad fumbled through it, he did not quote it word perfect in any way, shape, or manner. But I understood that he understood exactly what it meant. And I rejoiced with my dad as a 73-year-old memorizing scripture. He knew that God gave his only son for us to trust and believe in. And I said, yahoo! And I rejoiced. God's word, savoring it. Well, why? Why all of this? This is how we do it. You and I just have to be steadfastly faithful in honoring God. Notice how it ends. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole thing, the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Bottom line, honor God with every fiber of my soul. That's what it means to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You and I start fearing him. You and I start honoring him. You and I start living moment by moment for him to where our lives truly make a difference. We become steadfastly faithful to him in our lives. Loving his word, rejoicing in his goodness, rejoicing in his patience and long-suffering, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil, leaving the judgment up to him, allowing him to care for eternity while you and I live for him in light of eternity. John chapter 6, verses 39 and 40 says this. This is the will of my Father who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but shall raise it up in the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. That's a truth I can share with all of you. Trust Christ as your Savior, and guess what? He will raise you up into his presence in the last day. And all of God's people said? And it is eternal. It is eternal joy right in the presence of his great love, his compassion and everything. I have no clue what heaven and eternity is going to be like, but I do know this. He did quite a spectacular job in creating us here now, and everything that we will experience in heaven for eternity will far surpass all of it here. And all God's people said? And let's get excited about that and allowing the generations to come to see that excitement, that consistency in our lives. Why? Because it's guaranteed. God will not take away that truth in a fallen world. And you and I can enter into it and experience it. Psalm 1, thinking of David, Solomon's dad, he wrote this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." We walk in the midst of a corrupt world where everything is vanity, and he wants us to know if we delight in him, things will change. Psalm 119, 47, 48 says this, "And I will delight myself in your commandments, O Lord, which I love. Your hands will I will lift up to my hands. I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." Living a well-pleasing life for God's glory. I know most of us know Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and pleasing and the perfect will of God. You ought to read it in the NLT, the New Living Translation, sometime. If you've got it on your app there, go ahead and turn to it. I'm going to read it in a second. It kind of fluffs it up a little bit, but it gives you and I this thought. This is what it says. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable and pleasing. This is truly the way that we worship him, fear him. Do not copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is always good and pleasing and perfect. Walking with God is a great adventure, even as we're growing old. I can attest to that. That's why I'm not done yet. You know, I've had people in my congregation who couldn't wait to retire at the age of 50, and I thought, so boring. Unless they had a mindset to figure out a way to serve God in their retirement. Now, I don't begrudge them. I'm happy for them if they can do that. Yeah. I had a teen walk into my office just with a broken heart one time. I had been encouraging him, thinking that God had his hand on him and that he ought to consider going to school to share and teach the word of God. And I said, what's wrong? My guardians told me that that is something that I absolutely, positively should not do. And I said, why? He goes, because it doesn't pay very well. And people don't esteem you sometimes. And I said, that's true. It can be true. But I want you to know that the eternal benefits are quite spectacular. Being able to see people's lives radically transformed, there is no higher blessing. No higher blessing. We're here today, and we're all from about 12, 13, right on up through past me in the 80s. You're living, you're breathing. Celebrate God. Celebrate him. Serve him. God wants to use you. He's equipped all of us differently to do just that thing and enjoy the adventure. Why? Because it's for his glory. Let's stand and close our time. I don't know where you are. Maybe you're just here today and saying, Pastor, I'm hurting. Life has just been horrible all week long. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. I'm going to invite you to come forward just for prayer. You don't have to say anything. Just share your name. Please pray for me. Pray for me. And we will. We will. Maybe you want to make a decision for Christ. That'd be spectacular. And again, you can just say, pray for me. And we will. Getting prayer in the midst of life is a key to walking this great adventure for his glory. Our Father and our God, Lord, I pray that as your Spirit works in our hearts and lives, Lord, that you would just continue to work during this time as we sing and celebrate, praise and worship. Oh, Father, solidify the decisions that we make. Oh, Father, might we rejoice in the God of creation, the God of this book, your word, your spirit, your shepherd, our Savior. Father, meet the needs of our hearts through your riches and glory, through Christ our Lord, in whose name I pray.